All of that stuff could be like a couple stickers on my forehead and a chip in my wrist. Like, let's go. Come on. I'm so tired. Like, we're going to, by the time we're 60, we're going to look back at the days when you would leave the house and you'd have to bring all this stuff, these headphones and all this stuff. And it's just going to be like, it's going to be in us or stickers on our foreheads. Welcome to ADSP, the podcast, episode 122, recorded on March 21st, 2023. My name is Connor, and today with my co-host Bryce, we chat about ChatGPT, the NVIDIA GTC conference, and intelligence augmentation. We're back.
We are back.
Are we hopping straight into things?
I mean, I got a thing. If you got a thing, we can do your thing.
I don't
too.
Really have any things, but I'll just start off by saying it has been.
What do you mean you don't have a thing?
Well, I mean, I got tons of stuff, obviously.
You, some nerve you have.
I just meant to say you said you had a topic to talk about, so I did not mentally prepare anything. That being said, we recorded with Zach back on February 16th.
That was ages ago.
Yeah, that was five episodes, the most we've split up a single recording.
I gotta tell you, I love Zach.
That, honestly, you know, we gotta have. I was thinking that. I mean, usually we do our Christmas holiday special episode where we just chat, and it's usually just you and me. I feel like Zach would fit in great there, even though it's like, you know, the annual tradition is it's just you and me. But Zach was just fan. I love how hard of a time he gives you.
Yeah,
you know, from a place of love, but he just had so many zingers. And I just, the cold opens of those, you should just go listen to the first 30 seconds of each of the last five episodes, because I think at least three or four of the five are him like ripping into you about the authority filling curve and, you know, Bryce is fancy. We know. Anyways, it brings me a lot of joy to have someone like Zach, you know, try and bring you down to earth, which of course he failed. He magnificently failed in doing that. But
I mean, it's pretty hard to bring me down to earth.
It is amusing. At
I'm pretty much helium. I just rise up.
But yeah, that we recorded that on February 16th, and then the last time we recorded before that was February 1st. So today is March 21st. Which means that we actually, mano a mano, haven't chat in over a month and a half, which is probably pushing it in terms of, I mean, I guess we've had multiple.
Well, I've been like off in the wilderness, you know, like I've been not the literal wilderness, although I do that sometimes too, but I've just been off in the, off exploring some things and messing around with some new projects. And so we haven't even talked really at work.
Yeah, no, we haven't really caught up. I mean, the most we did was.
Although it's funny, the person who I've talked with the most at NVIDIA the past few weeks has actually been your boss.
Is it Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I did see that email thread about sort of the index. Well, that's like public stuff that's going to end up in a public API, right?
Is
that your topic for
today? I wrote a bunch of code and I just put it on GitHub, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So
okay. Well, before we hop into that, is there any update? I mean, we've been chatting. So I mean, I think the listener knows this by now. If you're a regular listener, Bryce and I are definitely going to be in Europe together in June. We've got a road trip. I guess you probably haven't booked that car, but we've got a road trip from like roughly the 18th.
I think I may have reserved the car.
Have you?
But yeah, I mean, it's you know, we have the flights figured out. I think the only thing now is we just got to figure out the hotels and then what we're going to do. And
yep, so we'll be doing a little road trip. And because of my other third podcast, which I actually did announce on this podcast back in January, it has launched, my running podcast. It's called Run for the Fun of It. The name came from ChatGPT, of course, because whenever it comes to creative things, I think that's actually what ChatGPT is best at.
I use ChatGPT to write a heartfelt message to my girlfriend yesterday. And but then I had so much fun doing it that afterwards I told her, why did you get them? Because she was traveling yesterday and she was having a rough time because she forgot her credit cards at home. And so she was really stressed. And so I had I had DoorDash delivered to her from a restaurant that I knew she liked near where she's staying for work. And I had like a little message sent there, but it was like 120 character limit. And I'm like, you know, I could just come up with something on my own, or I could use artificial intelligence.
There's literally, I'll have to find the Instagram reel, but there's an Instagram reel of a comedian talking about writing a poem for this girl he liked. And he used ChatGPT to do it. And then he admitted afterwards that he had used ChatGPT to do it. And then she was offended. And so then she, whatever, they left, parted ways after their date. And then the next day, he sent a heartfelt message apologizing. And then, you know, they ended up dating. And the punchline of the joke is that he got ChatGPT to write that heartfelt message. Which, like, I mean, it's like, I mean, the, it's the thought that counts, right?
Ramona wasn't amused, but she's never really amused by me.
It's the thought that counts. I think if you're taking the time to get a, I wouldn't call it sophisticated, but like sophisticated enough AI to assist you with the, you know, creative writing that you may not be the best at, that's totally okay in my books.
Well, but the funny thing is, I must have spent 40 minutes working with ChatGPT to write the message.
That's part of the process.
Just because, like, I was having fun with it.
Prompt engineering.
And so it probably took longer than it would have for me to write something on my own. And, like, I'm actually a pretty good communicator. So I think it probably would have been better, too.
I don't know about that.
But I was just like, I'm a man on a mission.
I feel
like this is the hot thing I'm going to do. I'm going to use it.
I feel like it's kind of like how when, was it Deep Blue beat Kasparov? And then they were like, oh, no, you know, computers are better at chess. But then immediately after that, they had a contest where you could have computer-assisted humans. Computer-assisted humans. And that was, like, the best combination. Like, so a human with a computer was still better.
Yeah. So actually, during our GTC Connect with the Expert session, typically when we do these Connect with the Expert sessions at GTC and the C++ team at NVIDIA does one every year, we tend to get a bunch of questions that are not strictly on topic. And one of the ones we got yesterday was about, I thought it was going to be off topic first because it was about ChatGPT, but it was actually very interesting. It was about, like, hey, can you use ChatGPT to auto-parallelize code? And usually if it's a question that I think is going to be off topic, I'm like a little reluctant to go and have us answer it live. But then I actually read it and I was like, ooh, this opens up like an interesting topic of ChatGPT assisted or large language model assisted programming, which is something I've been thinking about a lot recently. For a variety of reasons. One, I am lazy. I really just do not want to spend hours and hours cranking out code myself. That just does not, it's not a good use of my time. But two, I have a bunch of ergonomic issues that limit the number of hours I can actually code. A bunch of like repetitive stress injury things from.
You got RSI?
You know, when I was, what?
You have RSI?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I mean, it's pretty common, you know, that's one of the reasons why
you consider APL.
I don't
less
do
characters.
What
you consider APL? Less characters.
Yeah, you know, I the problem is though that you got to type all those fancy characters, and you got to use a bunch of key modifiers and layers to do that, and that's actually supposed to make it worse. But anyways, long story short is like I would like to write more code, but I would not like to write more code, you know?
I do know.
So I was thinking the other day, you know, until Elon perfects that little brain chip that we're all going to get implanted.
Whoa.
And
pause,
until I can
pause,
just directly.
Pause. You're actually going to put something that crazy dude creates in your head?
Well, not the one that he makes, but see, all right. See what I figured, you know, he's really big on dog fooding, right? I was reading this article the other day about that Elon, you know, at Tesla, a lot of the testing got done by, like, the executives, including Elon. Like, a lot of the testing for autopilot would be, like, Elon would go and, like, drive his Tesla with autopilot, and then, like, he would send a bunch of bug reports And then like that was their process. Like Elon would go and drive the car and then like tell the engineers like, go fix these things. Instead of, you know, having a more principled process. But you know, I gotta figure that Elon's gonna be one of the first people to install this chip. And you know, he's just gonna be brain dead after that. And so then once Elon is in a cyborg coma, you know, maybe somebody sane and reasonable will take over the company. And then they'll make like a safe brain chip. And then I'll get that one. You know, I'll get to generation two after the generation that Elon and all the Elon stands install and turns them into zombies.
We were talking about RSI and coding less.
My point was, you know, until I can get that Elon brain chip, what that will allow me to just directly interface with the computer and just tell it, like, you know, just directly output the code from my mind to the computer. Until that happens, I've been searching for other ways that I can output code without, you know, doing any work, because as we've established, I'm lazy. And obviously, these large language models, things like ChatGPT and GitHub Copilot, you know, offer opportunities for that. And you know, I was pretty skeptical of GitHub Copilot when it first came out, and I think that's just the curmudgeon-y old man inside of me that is just inherently skeptical at any new thing. Like, listeners of this podcast probably know, like, I do not have a very advanced or modern development setup. Like, I open up a shell and like I do all my stuff in V.
Yeah, there was on that
sometimes I use
on
Vim.
That live
sometimes
stream that
Vim.
You crashed a couple weeks ago, there was a number of comments being like, why does this guy not have syntax highlighting turned on?
yeah, and I don't believe in syntax highlighting. You know, it's just like, for me, like, I'm just happy with like just a Linux shell. And it's like, you know, half the time it's like, I don't even want like some fancy build system. Like, I just want like a bash shell. I think things like ChatGPT are so promising, and have such, potential to transform how we operate that I'm actually interested in improving my development toolbox. I've been thinking a bit about like what would I actually want. You know, I think it's pretty clear that the correct interface for like pair programming with an AI is not logging into ChatGPT and, you know, asking it to do things and then copying and pasting output from it into another window and then trying it and then, you know, giving it feedback. Like, that's a lot of copying and pasting. I don't want to do that. I think I'd want something more like, you know, the GitHub Copilot, where, it's integrated into your IDE. And like, as you start, you know, typing out stuff, it suggests auto completions. But something is like built into your IDE, and that, you know, can get feedback from, your IDE was like the first thing I was thinking about. And then I was thinking a bit about the problem of, well, what if you've got like a really big code base? You know, like what if what I want to tell the AI to do is like, hey AI, I have this 1 million line like internal proprietary code base that's not part of your training set. And I want you to write me a PR for that does this thing in this code base. And the problem there is that even GPT-4 has a fairly limited input size. Like, you could maybe feed in like, you know, let's say 100 pages of text or something, but you probably couldn't feed in a million line code base, right, to it. And so asking it to make some change across a large code base, not clear to me how exactly we'd go about doing that yet. But once I started thinking about that, it started occurring to me that, you know, what I really just want is I want to be able to go onto GitHub and file an issue against my project that describes the change that I want. And then the AI opens up a PR that, you know, implements that issue. And then I can give it feedback in the PR saying like, okay, well, you know, this is broken here. And also importantly that because it's opening up a PR, it will get feedback from your CI results and whatnot. So then it can go in, you know, you don't even have to tell it, hey, you know, this code that you wrote for me, it doesn't actually compile because it'll figure it out on its own when it sends the PR in. So that's more or less the interface that I settled up on wanting. Is then it doesn't matter what IDE, you know, you don't need to use a particular IDE or anything. It's just, I just type up a high level description of what I want and an issue, and then the AI goes out and does it. So somebody at Microsoft or GitHub or OpenAI, you know, get on that.
I mean, I feel like that's incredibly doable for a certain category of issue, like the kind of thing, like imagine adding W error, like W all to your CMake file, and then like you have a bunch of errors, and so you just post the output of like, you know, add this command to CMake and then go fix all this stuff. I feel like that's super doable, but there's like a larger category of things that is it's going to be, I'm not saying it's not possible, but I think it's going to be a long time before, you know.
Well, I mean, obviously we're going to have a future episode of this podcast where we live code with ChatGPT. But I think the potentially one route to get to what I want is that I suspect we're going to see large companies in the future start building models that are trained on their internal code bases.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's already a couple startups that are specifically, whether it's code bases, I know that there's one that's like SharePoint trained or something. I'm pretty sure I'll find it and put it in the show notes. There was an episode of the NVIDIA AI podcast, which is hosted by Noah Kravitz. I may have made that last name up. but I think like two episodes ago or three episodes ago, they had an episode on this startup that's doing exactly that, like internally trained LLMs that have the goal of providing a search engine that's trained on a cornucopia of proprietary internal stuff.
But yeah, I'm pretty interested in seeing where this space goes of AI assisted development. I think it's very promising.
Yeah. And like,
I mean, I've already seen some cool things with it, but the core things that I've seen, they've been impressive in the results they've produced, but not in the interface that one has to them. And a lot of them have been things like have ChatGPT write a Chrome extension for you that does something, and that's pretty easy because writing a Chrome consent, like you don't need any knowledge of a particular code base for that. Yeah. It's just a knowledge of a very well known, publicly documented series of APIs. It's a little bit harder if you want it to be like, hey, like I have this existing code base and I want you to help me like iterate on it. Or even just if it's like, hey, I want to like start a new code base from scratch that you are going to help me build.
Yeah. Well, that's when we had Sean Baxter on. That was the thing that I think is just like a game changer. Like I have three different C++ 20/23 personal project repos, or even one of them's for work. And like a to-do item on every single one of those is to add clang tidy, because it's just a non-trivial thing, especially if you have CUDA code and not just C++ code. And if I could just ask some, like, I think that I've talked about this on this podcast before, is that it's called GPT Duck or Duck GPT, which is like GitHub integrated with ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And if I can just point it at a repo and say, please go set up clang tidy with like the baseline Google standards and modify the CMake file so that it automatically works on like all headers in these C++ and CUDA files, and it just went and did that, that would be phenomenal.
Or like I like spent like 6 hours trying to set up like a particular thing in CMake last week where I was like, I wanted it to like build build a bunch of object files with flags that would capture optimization remarks in the compilers. And it would have been so, like, I'm sure that ChatGPT could have figured out how to do that real quick.
And that's the thing, is these are the kind of tasks that it's literally like, I don't want to say plumbing work, because I feel like that's like denigrating like a whole, you know, category of folks' jobs. But like, we are not build engineers, or like, I do, at least for myself, I do not consider myself a build engineer in the slightest.
Well, I mean, I feel like the percentage of time that I end up spending doing build system related things.
I mean, that's the whole point, though, is like, imagine if you could just say a question and say, this is what I want.
Yeah.
And that's the, you know, great. I think the more creative software engineering stuff is like algorithm design or work on Thruster or Cub or whatever it is you're doing. It's not the plumbing work or the infrastructure work to set up some unit test or get some CI process working on, you know, a matrix of configurations. That stuff is like, you know, it's not the stuff that I look forward to doing. And if I could automate the hell out of that stuff. It's on Oxide and Friends, they had an episode too where they were talking about like, imagine, it's not even like you think, oh, we're replacing someone's job or whatever. It's like, think about the APIs or code bases that don't really have documentation. And you just like put ChatGPT on it and said, hey, give me a read the doc style doxygen generated thing. And it just went and did it. Like, you know how awesome that would be. And like, it would do more than just like generating, like you could say, and do your best to, in English, document what each of these APIs are doing based on, you know, your assessment of the semantics of the function. Like, imagine how amazing that would be. Like, it would probably do better than what a human would do that didn't know anything about the code base and that was trying to do it by hand. Yeah. Like, if you got a co-op to do it or something like that.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
I think it is, yeah. All right, so let's talk about my
thing. We're at the 22-minute mark. Let's talk about a couple random more things. This will be episode 122, and then episode 123. Give the listener a little taste, a little preview before we jump into episode 123 of what we're going to be talking about.
Oh, we are going to be talking about C++ ranges and how to vectorize them. But more generally, we're going to be talking about optimizing loops in these sort of array language type paradigms for composing different algorithmic primitives. So yeah, well, I'm going
to
go with that.
Full stop. All right. Well, the listener has to wait a week in order to hear that topic. That's the way things work. I guess in the last few minutes here, I mean, you referenced a Connect with Experts with some of the library folks at NVIDIA.
Yeah.
That is implicitly a reference to the GTC 2023 virtual conference that's happening right now. Just in case folks are interested, it started on Monday. People are probably listening to this on Friday or on the weekend. So it is wrapped at this point, but all the talks will be online for free. And I'll have a trip report highlighting some of my favorites. I mean, I've only watched four so far. Did you watch the keynote this morning or?
No, it was at the same time as the C++ Library of Evolution Telecon. But I couldn't actually really participate in that because I had like three concurrent family disasters that went on. The first of which being that the Ramona's credit cards, which I had to overnight FedEx to her, to her hotel, the hotel like refused to sign for them, and so then the FedEx people like took the package back, and it was a whole ordeal, and then like two or three other things concurrently blew up. So
is everybody's okay though, or like emergencies that is not like tragic or
like none of them were emergencies, all of them were drama.
Okay, all right, that's still suboptimal, but relative to what I was thinking.
Suboptimal for my like tranquility, yes.
But anyways, yeah, GTC is ongoing. I mean, it's over at this point, but if folks want to check things out, anything, I'm not sure if you've taken a look at the schedule. I know you've got a C++ standard parallelism talk. Is this the same talk you gave last year, or is it a updated, or? Or do I have to cut this out?
Nah, you know, I can be honest with the listener. It is an updated talk. I had hoped that we were going to make a whole new talk specifically on senders, but we just ended up making an updated talk.
Okay. Any talks that you've seen or not seen? I guess probably you haven't had time to watch any, but like, have you checked out the schedule yet or no? You haven't had
time. My colleague Alex is going to give a cool talk about the quantum computing stuff, the quantum C++ stuff that they're working on. So that's probably going to be pretty interesting. Other than that, nah, I got nothing.
All right. I'll put a link in the description of that talk. Also in the past, tomorrow, on top of GTC Day 3, is the half-day Apple Seeds 2023 conference, which is a sort of beginner online free virtual conference for people that are interested in APL. So I'm going to be, and that's actually, you know what the best, here's a question, here's a trivia question, Bryce. What's the best thing about virtual conferences? There's not a ton of nice things. I mean, it's more accessible stuff, but there is one thing that.
I get to wear my pajamas and my bathrobe while presenting.
You still probably could do that and probably have in the past. But no,
no,
that is
but,
not it.
But don't give me any ideas.
That's not it. There's something that's way better about virtual conferences than that. That is
way better about virtual conferences
compared to in person. It is that, and if you're a virtual conference that does your talks on Zoom, like Apple Seeds will be tomorrow, cut that out and do what you should be doing, which is having them either streamed on YouTube or streamed on some video service that can be sped up. Because I actually don't really watch any talks live because I don't really have the patience, especially when I'm sitting in my chair, to watch things at one time speed. So usually I'll just watch talks from the slot before and I'll watch them at 2x. That's actually one of the hardest things now about...
You watch my talks at 2x speed? I talk pretty fast.
No. I mean, yes, I watch all talks. There are the only time I listen to podcasts at 2.3 times speed and I listen to all talks at 2.0 times speed. The only time... I slow.
There's something wrong with you.
I mean,
you're like really you do all these things that are very savant like.
I mean, it's not honestly. I don't think it's savant like. It's kind of like the, you know, how many hairs makes a beard. If 500 hairs is a beard, then clearly 499 must be, and 498, and then it recursively goes down to zero. As soon as like you can't
what
you can't really tell the difference between 1.0 times speed and 1.1 times speed. And then so you move it up to 1.1, and then you do the same thing with 1.1 to 1.2, and then you just don't really notice until before you know it, you're at 2.3 times speed, and then you go back every once in a while. I listen to my Polish podcast at 1.0 times speed, and then sometimes when I skip to the next podcast, I'll hear it at 1.0 times speed, and like it gives me anxiety to hear these people talking so slowly. It probably also doesn't help with my own presentation skills. Because I already was a fast talker in my presentations, but now I think because
yeah, that's
I,
not the truth.
I listen to these things so quickly. But the point is the only times I slow things down are in certain podcasts. One, if it's in a different language that I don't speak, or two, if the audio quality is bad, or if there's an act.
You're listening to other podcasts in other languages now.
Yeah, I mean, if...
can you leave some room for the slackers, man.
Who? I don't know it. Like, I don't know any of those.
I think Connor.
You're not a slacker, my Connor. Guy.
I hate to break it to you. I am definitely a slacker. I am the book definition of a slacker.
Okay, Mr. Head of EWG
A famous person once said, and I don't know who, and I don't care.
A lazy
to look
person
it up.
Is a smart person because they're always finding the most efficient way to do things.
What they said was, I think it was something along the lines of, smart people think, other people work. I got no intention of doing work. I'm just the ideas guy.
Nah. I mean, I disagree. A couple of my favorite quotes, one of my favorite quotes is by, was it Thomas Edison? geniuses 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. I love that quote. Yeah. Love that quote.
You and I have different philosophies to life.
What's another one of my favorite quotes that's in that? It's escaping me right now. Everyone has like a different style, right? And my style is that I want to consume just like an absurdly large amount of information. Like, that's the kind of the problem with reading books, you know? Most books are like 95% kind of like a waste of time.
So then you're going to get the Elon chip too.
Oh, as soon as they have some kind of intelligence augmentation thing that is like approved. Absolutely. But like, I think this phone right now, like, I think we're already like intelligence augmented human beings. Like, how many people can operate normally, quote unquote, normally without a cell phone? Like, that's how we spend more time communicating with people through this device that everyone always has on them than we do like face to face. And like, there's so many things, you know, like people looking up words in a dictionary, finding directions from point A to point B. It's all completely changed from when we were kids. And yeah, I think we are already like intelligence augmented human beings, and the next step is some chip. Like, I think it's absurd that I have to carry around a Jeep. When I go running, I have headphones in my ears that are hardware, a credit card and maybe an ID in my pocket, a cell phone for music, and then a GPS watch, which technically I could use for my music, but I like, you know, messing around with my podcast. So it's like a phone, headphones, a watch, and credit cards. All of that stuff could be like a couple stickers on my forehead and a chip in my wrist. Like, let's go. Come on. I'm so tired. Like, we're going to, by the time we're 60, we're going to look back at the days when you would leave the house and you'd have to bring all this stuff, these headphones and all this stuff. And it's just going to be like, it's going to be in us, or stickers on our foreheads. And that is the best. And I can't wait for that. Like, the fact that I'm pulling out a piece of plastic that has some RFID thing so I can pay for stuff.
You're going to have to title this episode Stickers on Our Foreheads.
Wouldn't that be amazing? And honestly, like, just put the headphones in my eardrums, because I'm probably already slowly destroying my hearing by listening to music too loud.
I'm buying a cabin in the woods.
Nah.
And a gun to shoot all the robots.
No, you're not. You're going to be right there sitting up in the clouds. Above the clouds. Anyways, we're past the 30-minute mark.
We are definitely past the 30-minute mark.
End episode 122. Be sure to check your podcast app or adspthepodcast.com for links to any of the topics that we discussed today, and a link to a GitHub discussion where you can ask any questions or leave any comments that you have. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed, and have a great day.